is God to you? Where do we start? I was thinking about this as I was preparing this week for the message. How did I first come to know God? I first came to know God in my life by listening. I listened to the stories, in particular, my maternal grandmother, Grandma Dunn, lived with us when I was a little older. She had a couple of heart attacks and moved in with us and stayed with us. And every morning I would hear her praying. Now, she didn't pray so that I would hear her, but I heard her because she prayed. And I would hear her calling out, talking with someone as if it was a normal relationship. She was interacting with a friend, interacting with someone that she knew intimately. You understand what I'm talking about? So my first understanding of who God is began as I listened to her in her prayer closet, as I listened to her in her dialogue with God, as I listened to her as she would read the Word and she would explain things to me, as she would tell me the stories. You know, there are stories in your lives that are important, and she would tell the stories of who God was to her. But not just who He was, she would begin to tell me stories about things He had done for her. Anybody have someone in your life that has ever done anything like that for you, that has shared with you, and they have explained or expressed to you, whether good, bad, or indifferent, who God is to them? Do you understand what I'm talking about? And in reality, that's what we should be doing in our houses, in our family. We should be passing down the stories about who God is, because that is the first place that Bubby learns who God is, by hearing. By hearing what He's done for other people. By hearing who He is to his grandma, to Nick and Kellen, to Nicole. Who He is. That's how we learn. That's the first way that we learn. Takiya, how did you learn about God? You saw Him active in your mom and dad's life, right? I saw Him active in my parents' life. Somebody was sick. My dad went and got the Bible. Matthew 18, verses 18 and 19. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, whatever you ask, it shall be done. That was routine. We had Bible study. We talked about God. I didn't have a choice about whether I was going to church or not. And if I didn't like it, I became intimately acquainted with the bathroom. And my father or mother would explain to me the need for me to be in church. You understand what I'm talking about? That's how I learned about God. But here is my question to you. How many of you know people, or maybe even you yourself, that is where your experience or understanding with God ended? I want to challenge you today to consider, who is God to me? That's what we're talking about. Who is God to me? How often does our experience end with just the stories that we've heard? Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, I've heard all kinds of stories about Brother Jim. I like to pick on him because he's safe. He picks back and he'll beat me later. But I've heard all kinds of stories about him, but I don't know if they're true or not until I get to know him. And then I understand why Miss Jerry cries all the time. No, I'm scared. He keeps her on her knees. No. You understand what I'm talking about? I can't truly understand someone until I experience them. Who is God to me? I can't really know someone until I experience them, until I spend some time in their presence, until I spend some time with them. Who is God to me? So the first place that I learned about God was by hearing the stories. And my goodness, what stories they were. They were amazing stories. I would hear about how God miraculously healed I heard the stories about her conversion, how she got saved over and over and over. I heard the stories about how that she was sanctified. You know, she was old Church of God, and in Church of God, you got saved, then you got sanctified, then you got filled with the Holy Ghost. So I heard these stories. You know, we used to have this thing called testimony service, but people went and messed it up. Instead of giving a testimony about how good God was, they'd stand up and tell about how they got beat up and how they did this, and they'd gossip, and then they'd do some more until the pastor finally had, sit down. You're not giving glory to God or anybody else. But there's something powerful about our testimony. In fact, the Bible says that we are made overcomers by the Word and by our testimony. So there's a place for it in our lives that we tell our stories, because it shakes other people's faith and encourages them. Why? Because God said, I am not a preferer of people. I don't pick one person to love and another person to not love. I will do the same thing for you that I did for them. So when we hear the stories about what God did for somebody else, it stirs our faith. And it causes us to say, oh my goodness, I might have a chance. You know, I went the other day for a job interview, and they looked at me, and even though I wasn't quite qualified, and even though I didn't quite have exactly what they were looking for, I had favor with them, and they said, I'm going to hire you and give you a chance. And it made somebody else say, well, I've got a chance. We heard stories about people who were healed. God touched their bodies. And it caused us to think, my goodness, that means if I get sick, God would do that for me, because He doesn't like you better than me. I have a chance. I have an opportunity. So it stirs our faith. Causes me to believe. Causes me to think. Thinking's good, as long as it's in a positive vein. So we need stories. That's the first place that we learn about God. But stories aren't enough. Stories aren't enough. Like I said earlier, if I just took the stories about who Brother Anthony is and I never took the time to get to know him, I'm missing out. Because stories are great. But that's who he is to somebody else. Who is God to me? Stories are fantastic. Again, it stirs my faith. It gets my motor running, gets my juices going. But if I just heard the stories about who Jennifer was, that would make for a boring marriage. I got to get to know who she is. I got to spend some time with her. Who is God to me? Who is God to me? So again, there's a place for the stories, but there's so much more. Notice here that Jesus said, who do they say that I am? See, again, I'm telling you, there's a place for this. There's a place for it in the church that we have to tell our stories. There's a place for it, Miss Grace, that you need. You need to declare for everybody to hear who God has been to you in your life, because it will touch somebody's heart. It will stir something inside them. It will cause them to have faith that soars. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there's a place for it. We've got to have it, but who is God to me? You see, there comes a point then where Jesus doesn't say, who do they say that I am? Because that's not enough. They played the newlywed game last night. The Dixons cleaned up. They did really well. They won. They did great, but all the teams did really well. Well, you know the premise of the newlywed game, right? Ask questions about your relationship. Where were we when? What year did we do? What car is your favorite car? I like that. So, of course, you know, my wife's sitting there. Okay, let's do this. I need to know. Are we in sync? Are we together? How well do you know me? The only way that we know each other is by spending time together. So, who is God to you? Who is God to me? God can't be a rehearsed set of answers. He's glory. God, you are your Savior. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe that you're the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. What's that mean? God, I believe that you're the Prince of Peace. What does that mean? I believe that you're the healer. Has he healed you? I believe that you're the Rose of Sharon. What's that mean? I believe that you are El Shaddai. What does that mean? I believe that you're Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? You know, you can hear all kinds of information. Remember, we talked about that at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, that we are a church and we can be based on the understanding of education. You can educate me and tell me a story and I can learn it verbatim. I can learn it by rote. I can memorize everything you have to say because I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I've got a few things going for me. So bring it on, baby. But who is God to me? Who is God to me is a much deeper, a much more difficult question because it challenges my understanding. It's not the stories that I've heard. And so Jesus said, "Who do they say that I am?" And he answered them. And then he said, "Pero, quien dice, who do you say that I am?" There's a saying that I've heard for years, and I use it a lot because it's very true. God has no grandchildren. Now, that might make you go, huh? Think about it for a minute. God has no grandchildren. Because a grandparent is, well, not in today's society, but traditionally, let's go back to traditionally. Today, grandparents raise the grandkids. But traditionally, the grandparent's role was for support and spoiling. The grandparent's role was, I love spending time with you a lot more than I did with your mommy and daddy. Now go home. That was a grandparent's role. That was who grandparents were traditionally supposed to be. So a grandparent didn't have to do the correction. A grandparent didn't have to do the raising. Again, I know our society has flipped. But I'm trying to tell you, traditionally, grandparents were not as involved. And so I liked my grandparents more than I liked my parents. Sometimes, isn't that true? Yeah. See, I didn't like my father until I was in my 20s. And he knows that. I had to apologize to him for the feelings and the thoughts that I had. Because that's just, he was my father, and I didn't like him being my father sometimes. I'm sure none of you relate to what I'm saying, right? None of you get that. But my grandparents, on the other hand, I love them. I love to spend time with them because they give me some ice cream. We'd go to the coffee shop. We'd go shopping. We'd go do this. We'd go do that. And then he'd drop me off and say, "See you later. Love you." No. Well, he tried, but no, I was one of the later grandchildren. I didn't get many of them. When there are 30-some of us, and I'm one of the later ones, he kind of eased up. Yeah. So, grandparents don't have the same responsibilities that a parent has. So when I say that God has no grandchildren, what I'm saying is that no one can have a secondary relationship with Father God through someone else. The only relationship I had with my grandparents was through my parents. They put up with me and they loved me because I was Walt's son. Right? That's why. It was a secondary relationship. So here's my question: who is God to me? And if God has no grandchildren, then what kind of relationship do you have? A primary relationship with God? I'm letting you think about it for a minute. Do you have a primary relationship with God? Is He your Father? Who is God to me? Or is He the God of everybody else's stories? I still remember the day. Now, again, I came from a background where the Holy Spirit moved in our services, and I experienced a move of God from a very young age. You know, one of the first memories was, I think, on my dedication, my grandmother held me in her arms and she danced across the front of the church. You know, so I experienced the power and the move of God. But I will never forget the day that I heard His voice plainly for the first time. The day I experienced the voice of God, I was 15. It was summer. I was at youth camp and God spoke to me and He said, "This is what I want you to do." And I said, "Whoa." I mean, the power of God, the voice of God changed me. I have never been the same since that day. Because I became His child. I was already saved. I was already filled with the Spirit. I was already working in His calling. But it was at that moment that He became real to me. Because I experienced Him. Who is God to me? Will you say it with me? Who is God to me? Say it out loud. One more time. Thank you. Who is God to me? I experienced Him. Something happened. Something changed. Something shifted in my life because I was no longer just associating with the testimonies that I heard and the stories that I heard, but I was beginning to have my own story written with the one who created the world. In those moments, as His voice filled my spirit, filled my soul, filled me with His presence, in those moments when I was overcome, I said, "My goodness, I knew who I was at that moment for the very first time." But you're only 15, right? And I had a lot of growing to do. There's no question about that. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when you experience God, when you have a first-hand experience meeting with God, He can't be your grandpa anymore. In your own story is written, in the process of being written. Who is God to me? So in this moment, Jesus looks at Simon and He says, "Who do they say that I am?" And He answers them. But then He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter says, "You're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the one that they've been talking about for generations. You are the one who is coming to change history." That's a lot for one little line. You are Christ. But then he goes farther here in Matthew. Mark's account doesn't include this, but Matthew says, not only are you the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one that we've heard about for years and years and years, generation after generation after generation, the one who's going to change history. Not only are you the Christ. No solo el Cristo. Not only are you the Christ, but you are the Son. El Hijo, you are the Son of the living God. Hang on now. See, there are some people who still question, they still wonder, is Jesus just a man that was born and died? May I take just a moment of a rabbit trail here to satisfy your minds? Here at Cornerstone, and Pastor will correct me if he disagrees with me, but here at Cornerstone, we do not believe that Jesus was just a man who died. We do not believe that he was just a carpenter who got fame and fortune. But we believe that he was created in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, the Son of the living God. Because if the Holy Spirit is the daddy and Mary's the mommy, it doesn't matter what way you cut it, he's still God's son. You can't change that. It's not possible. So from our perspective, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He is divine. He is, and it's a mystery. How can he be divine and human at the same time? No sé. I don't know. That's Spanish for I don't know. No sé. That's good. You can use that later if you want. No sé. Your wife looks at you. No sé. No sé. And if you really want to be truthful, just say, no sé nada. I don't know anything. But how did it happen? I don't know. I can't answer that. I can't explain it. But all I can say is that he is the Son of God. And we believe that. So if you will bear with us, I know we're backdated and we're in we're uneducated, not really, but you know, some people may say that because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So let me make that clear when I say that. When Peter said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the one that we've heard about for so many years, the one that's going to change history. And not only that, but you are actually the Son of God. You are divine and not just the Son of God. Remember, they worshiped idols. They worshiped stone. They had carvings that were just beautiful all around them and impressive that they worshiped and they bowed down to, but they weren't living. He is specific here when he says, you are not just the son of a God, but you are the son of the living God. There's something different about that. Who is Jesus to me? Who is God to me? So he says, you are Christ, the son of the living God. The most important thing in what I worry about is that in church, we expect too much from people sometimes. Because we don't have this part down yet. Who is God to me? See, we have people that are coming into our pews that are sitting here that know God only through stories. This is where we're going this morning, and I need you to dig in. Prayer warrior, just dig in for just a minute. I need you to be praying because I feel something going on in the spirit here. Because we who are desirous of a move of God, we understand that the pews cannot be filled with people who only know God through stories. Our church, to be the powerful, community-changing entity that He has called this church and this area to be in His move, must be a church that is filled with people who have a deeper relationship than just a story level. Who is God to me? So when Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Who do you say I am?" When he heard the answer, something sparked inside him. Something lifted inside of him. Because there is no way, based on the teaching that Jesus did, that Peter would be able to pick up from him and say, "You are the Anointed One." Because Jesus never said, "I am He that has come." That's never what he said. He never said, "I am the Christ." He never said, "I am the Son of the living God." Never did those words come out of his mouth. You look through the Bible, he said he's the Son of Man at different times. But he never once raised himself on that level. And so here, Christ, Peter is saying to him, "You are the Anointed One that's going to change history. But more than that, you are the offspring. You are the very divine nature of the God who lives." So what he was saying is, not only are you the Anointed One, but you're the one. You're the one that's inside me that's changing things. Ooh. There was an old song that we used to say, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in me." Ooh, that's a good one. Oh my goodness, now, come on. But he can't change me if I don't know him. He can't change me if I don't seek him. Who is God to me? And the problem is that it's easy to come to church, especially in the South. In the North, people just don't even bother going to church. But everybody expects you to come to church down here. But it's easy to come and it's easy to sit and it's easy to hear stories and it's easy to say, "I am a Christian." But who is God to me? If you can't tell me, and so Pastor started me on something, and you know, I'm in some ways I'm naive. I assume if you come to church, you saved. Well, not everybody, but no, I'm just kidding. I assume. Oh, I'm going to have to repent to you and apologize. I'm sorry. I'm just playing. But I assume that if you come to church, that you saved. I assume if you take the time out of your busy schedule to come and sit in here, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short, sometimes it's loud, sometimes it's soft, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's always good. But you spend time coming in here and you take your time out of your busy schedule to listen to Pastor, listen to me, to listen to the speaker, listen to Steve, to listen to us, to hear our music, to enjoy, to spend time together with us. So I assume that you've already transcended the level of just the story of God. But that's not the case. And so Pastor looked at me one day and he said, "Listen. Before you meet with anybody that comes into that church, you ask them, tell me your story." What story? Tell me the story of your transformation. Tell me the story of how Jesus saved you. Do you know how many people say, "I don't know"? And I'm not being funny, I'm being serious. So it began me thinking, who is God to me? Say it again, who is God to me? The problem is God can't be anything more than a story, a comic book figure, unless I have had an experience with Him. Because it is in the experience with God that He reveals to me who He is to me. Otherwise, He's just God to you, God to you, God to you, God to them, God over here, God over there. He's God in a word that's not even alive. He's just Jesus. Hear me. Yes, a historical figure. All he is a historical figure. But may I share something with you? And it comes from the deepest part of me. Who is God to me? It comes from the deepest part of me. Hear me. This is what's in my spirit that I want to get out tonight. Is it okay? I got another hour and a half, so we're good. We're good. We're good. I'm kidding. Who is God to me? God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Think about it from a natural perspective as well. And I used my wife as an example. And she's way up there high this morning. If I had not known who she was. Well, can I talk to you about our meeting? The first time I met my wife. If you see something hurled from up there, you'll know. Will you protect me? Oh, she's standing up now. If I went on who I thought Jennifer Lynn Workman was the first time I met her, I can tell you I would not be standing here today. And likewise, if she went on who Matthew Allen Sherman was the first time she met me, she wouldn't be with me today either. You understand what I'm saying? Because we got off on the wrong foot. You see, she was hateful. And I was a dork. Some things never change. The dork part. But something inside me said, because, see, I loved her grandmother and her grandfather. I loved them like there was no tomorrow, because they were just, they're some of the greatest people you could ever meet. And I really, something said, and then I met Kathy, and I thought Kathy was nice, but that changed. But that's her aunt. I'm just kidding. She's probably going to listen to this and call me and yell at me. But if I would have gone by that first impression that I had, I would have turned and walked away. Because I got this feeling about who she was. I didn't know all the backstory. I didn't know everything else that was going on in her. And it wasn't until I stopped and took the time to get to know her. You see, when I found out who she was, I didn't want to live without her. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I hope you do, if you're married. When I found out who she was, and I want to relate the natural to the spiritual here in just a moment, but when I found out and I understood who this woman was, how, the greatness inside of her, the love, the overwhelming compassion, the gentleness, the peace, but I had to get to know her. Any of you know some people like that? I had to take some time to get to know her to understand who she was to me. And when I got to know her, when I took that time, I determined in my mind that there would be nothing that could separate us. The problem is that we live in this fast food mentality society that says, I don't care if you get up in the morning and have bad breath. I'm being flippant. I understand that there are reasons for separation, but and I'm not trying to get into that. But what I'm trying to say is that we have brought that fast food mentality into God. And we've said that if God doesn't do what I think He ought to do on my time schedule, I'm bouncing. See ya. Talk to the hand, baby, because I ain't got nothing to say. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Who sold us the bill of goods that said Christianity was going to be easy? Who told you that nothing would go wrong in your life if you said yes to Jesus? Who lied to you? Who caused that lie to be placed in your mind that caused you to believe for even a moment that everything was going to be hunky-dory? Because, baby, I'm here to tell you, life is not fair and it's not easy and nothing goes the way you want it to go 100% of the time. That's not God's fault. That's life. We can blame Father Adam for that when he caused sin to come into the world. But it's not God's fault. The problem is we have not taken the time to get to know God, to get to know Him intimately, to understand who He is, in order that the revelation of who He is would come through us. Because as I get to know Him, guess what? He transforms me. I feel like I'm not doing justice to what I need to say to you today, because I need you to hear this. Because our society says that a spouse or a friend will walk out on you and leave you in hard times. Jesus says, I'll stick closer to you than a brother. He doesn't say, I'm going to make it smooth sailing. He says, I'm with you. Because if you don't go through hard times, how do you know who God is? I'm not preaching a message of suffering for suffering's sake so that you can have badge after badge on your chest like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that there are tests of our faith that come from time to time. And God is using them to make you a better person. He's not using them to punish you. Hear me. God is not a God of punishment. He is a God who uses the things that were sent to destroy you to make you strong. Ooh. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that tough times will not come. But it is how you respond to those tough times that determines who God is to you. Because you can't say that Jehovah Jireh is my God. Jehovah Jireh means the God who provides. Have you ever thought about that? We sing, hallelujah, Jehovah Jireh, praise Him. Oh, I just worship Jehovah Jireh. The only way you know He's Jehovah Jireh is if you have a need. But we're too busy as Christians. I don't want to have a need. That's uncomfortable. I don't want to be needy. That is uncomfortable. Doesn't feel good. Don't want to do it. Not going to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who is God to me? Who is God to me? Who is God to me? The only way we understand who God is to us is as we go through the things that we go through, He reveals Himself. Just like as you and your spouse go through issue after issue, time after time, you and your friends, your family, your children, you go through this bout and that bout, you go through this issue and that issue, you're revealing to each other who you are. God can't be the all-sufficient one if you never needed something. But that's not comfortable, Brother Jim. I do not want to be in pain. God can't heal you if you're not sick. Hear me. I'm not preaching a perverted word. I'm really telling you the truth if you'll listen to me. It is not God's job to put a ceiling over us to keep bad things from happening. It is God's job to reveal Himself that when the bad things come, then He says, and here I am. Oh my, if you could hear this, if you could get a hold of it, we've turned things around and we've perverted it and we've made it sick and we've caused ourselves to believe that God will never make us suffer. But I'm telling you, it's in our suffering, it's in our triumph and in our tragedies that God is able to say, look who I am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hear me. He says to Peter, who do you say that I am? Who is God to me? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, I need a Savior. Peter stands there in front of Jesus and we applaud and we say, oh, what a beautiful answer. What a glorious response. But what Peter was crying out for, and we see in his brokenness later, is that through all of my issues and all of my problems, I need the Son of the living God. And so guess who you are to me? You are my God. You are my healer. You're my king. Do you understand what I'm saying? Peter says, that's who you are to me because that's what I need today. Who is God to me? He's not the one that's going to keep the bad man away. He's the one that's going to hold your hand and say, you don't have to be afraid of the bad man. He is not the God that says all bad will go away. He is the God that says, I'm going to see you through it. He's not the God that says, I will be a fence all about you and keep the wolves at bay. He is the God that says, even if they get a bite, I'm going to restore. Even if it feels like they got too much, I am your healer. Oh my God, who is God to you today? I don't need him to be a superhero. I don't need my God to be a comic book hero. I need my God to be an ever present strength in my life. I don't need a God that sits in his heavenlies and thwarts the enemy and shoots down the arrows. I need a God who says, here, I've got a shield you can use. It's okay. It's going to be all right. You understand what I'm saying to you today? We don't need a God that protects us. We don't need a God to be a grandparent to us. We need a God who says, it's all right. You're going to grow up a little bit this time. It's okay. You're going to get a little stronger, but you will make it through. You might limp a little bit. Oh my God, do you hear me? You might limp a little bit, but it can't kill you. Oh my God, oh my God. But instead, we have church member after church member who sit there not understanding, not knowing who God is to them because their story is a story that is written in dead ink. Oh God. Their story is a story that has not been written by the blood of the Lamb. We have churches filled with people who really can't answer, who is God to me? They just know who God is to everybody else. Job, what a man. If you've never gone through anything in your life, you can't really relate. I don't know how much I can relate to because my life's been pretty good. I'm happy about that. I'm happy God is good to me. But I have issues just like you do. Job, here's a man. He says, though you slay me. No, you didn't hear me. You're not getting it. Who is God to me? Who is God to you? God was such an ever-present power in Job's life, and it doesn't even make sense. I mean, some of you cannot wrap your minds around this thought. Though he slay me, yet I will follow. Doesn't make sense. Because we want things easy. We want what we want, how we want it, when we want it, on the silver platter. And God says, that's not how I designed it. It's not because I don't want you to have those things. It's because sometimes you got to work for it, baby. Sometimes you got to go through some mess to have a message. Sometimes you got to go through some issues before I can heal your issues. Sometimes you have to go 12 years bleeding before that touch. Before that touch, think about that woman with the issue of blood. 12 years, she looked here, she looked there, she looked everywhere. And she said, wait a minute, I heard a story. Oh my God. I heard an old, old story about a Savior came from glory. And there she is, I heard a story. I heard this story. She said, could it be? Could it be? Because she needed a healer. She needed someone to restore her. She needed that. It was a need inside of her. Quit pretending like you don't need anything. Take your mask off, baby. Rub your makeup off. Take it off. Everybody knows what's going on inside you. You're the only one you're fooling. She says, I need. It wasn't until that moment when she finally admitted and she said, this is who I need, that God was able to say, and guess what? This is who I am. As they come back and they sing, How Great Is Our God, again, for a moment, I'd like you to just bow your heads with me for just a moment. Just a moment, because I want to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in here. If you were to be honest to me today, I'm going to change my one question to two. Who is God to me? Who is God to you today? But I want to go a little bit farther. I want to go a little bit farther. Who do you need God to be today? You mind? You mind if we go here for just a minute? It might be tough. Seriously. Who do you need God to be? Problem is, remember, He may not answer in the way that you want Him to answer. He may not say, it's going to be okay, it's all taken care of. He might say, I'll be with you as you go through it. Are you willing and ready to accept that answer? Does your relationship with Him mean enough to you that you are willing to suffer what he allows into your life? He doesn't bring it into your life, but He allows it into your life. Or do we need to find a church where we're going to speak it away and pray it away and cast it away and pretend like everything's fine? Father, I pray this morning that You will speak to our hearts, that You will cause us to honestly assess who You are to us, and more importantly, who we need You to be in our lives. Because God, I believe honestly that Your word declares that whoever we need, whatever we need, that You are our need meter, that You are the one who becomes for us what we need, just as You became sin because we needed a Savior. I pray that You would speak to each heart, that You will touch us, that You will prick us, that You will cause us to have a desire to know You in a deeper way than just the stories we've heard. That You will cause us to go deeper than just the things that we have heard others say, and that You will become real to us in our own lives, just as You revealed to Peter who You were. The end, Matthew 16, says, Peter, only God revealed that to you, and it's upon that rock, it's upon that truth, it's upon that understanding that I am. We'll be talking about that more on Wednesday night. Upon that rock, I'll build my church. And nothing can stop it. Insert yourself into this situation. Upon this truth, God will build His Betty. God will build His Evelyn. God will build His Debbie. God will build His person. God will build me. Upon that truth, God, who do I need you to be in my life today? I want to, in two different ways, as you continue to be reverent today, in two different ways, I want to ask you, is there anyone here who says, you know, God has only until now been a story to me. I really have never had an experience or understanding of Him. I've never had a supernatural touch of Him in my life. I've never known Him. I've not heard His voice. I've not heard Him speak to me. If you are here and that's you, will you slip up your hand quickly for just a moment? So then I'm going to assume that we've all had a saving knowledge and come to a saving knowledge of Christ. So my next question then, and the final question I ask is, are you in need of a revelation of Jesus Christ in your life? Do you need Him to reveal Himself to you in some way? And can we pray with you? There are prayer warriors that are here today who braved the ice and the snow and drove half hour, 45 minutes to come so that they could lay hands on you, so that they could touch you, so they could pray with you, so that they could impart to you the power of God. Is that you? If it is, make your way up here. Don't wait. I don't need to see a hand. I just need you to move. Because God is doing something. The waters are troubled. I can sense it right now. You just need to come on. If this is who you are, if you need a revelation of who Jesus Christ is to you, you need to come on. You need to just bring it. I'm not going to beg you. I'm just saying you just need to bring it because I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. No one see how great is our God. Come on, how great is our God. Close to Him. I'm ready.